Well, we're going to be picking up where we left off in Luke chapter 6 this morning. So if you would reach for Bible, please, and turn there. If you were with us last week, we got to the centerpiece of this teaching. This teaching is Luke's rendering of the Sermon on the Mount. And the centerpiece was this incredible, incredible commandment to love our enemies. And last week, we talked about that kind of in the context of, like, the categories of hurricanes. You know, like category one love, that's the easy stuff. Category five love is the crazy stuff that Jesus calls us to. And, you know, the Lord just kind of prompted me to talk about categories of hurricanes. And then right after I finished kind of going through this the last time this morning, I checked on my phone on Hurricane Dorian, because that was like our poster child hurricane. Do you know what happened at 8 o'clock this morning? At 8 o'clock this morning, an Air Force reconnaissance plane decided or measured winds at 160 miles an hour, and that what was like a little cream puff last week when we talked about it is a genuine Category 5 hurricane this morning. Not that I would celebrate that if it hits anything other than fish or makes waves for surfers, but I'll tell you what, it is just it's an incredible example of what we talked about last week is Jesus calls us to love like Jesus, right? And Jesus loves like that, okay, which is to do whatever it takes for your best benefit, whatever it takes, even if it requires the greatest personal sacrifice, and he does it when you least deserve it. So he said, love like me, love your enemies. And we characterize that as Cat 5 love, because it's crazy love. And what we talked about is the fact that we can start as a little swirl of wind over the ocean. We can start as a little puffy cloud that turns into a thunderstorm. And then we can become like category one lovers and we can grow through that. And Hurricane Dorian just shows us, okay? Because you know, the hurricane didn't go, I know, I'm going to be a category five storm. Watch this, right? I mean, the Lord brought the heat to the tropical oceans. The Lord, you know, he's responsible for those laws of physics and evaporation that warm air rises. And he's the one that birthed a little thunderstorm out in the eastern Atlantic. And then he put a little swirly in it, and he's the one that put the planet in its rotation so that the winds moving from north to south and south to north will bend and start to swirl. And then he's the one that managed all the upper air winds so that by the time it got today, from a meteorological phenomenon standpoint, it is a storm that has been brought to perfection. And it's very rare. And that's actually his plan for us. Right? Is he's going to do the stuff in your life and my life in order to take us from being indifferent to people, indifferent to him. He does the work to bring us to love him and to start to love people. And then he grows us and grows us and grows us into a Category 5 love hurricane. That's what he wants for us. We talked about that last week. And I know I got a lot of good feedback from that sermon. And so now you need to bring your standards down because this week's sermon is going to be nowhere as good. I'm just kidding, because actually, this is not my sermon, it's Jesus' sermon. See, he's the one that's talking here. I'm just, like, bringing some commentary. And we're going to read his word in a second. But what he basically does is when he takes us to this idea of this crazy love your enemies, like people that want your demise, people that want to capture your children and sell them to gypsies, people that want to ruin everything about you, maybe even bring about physical pain and death to you, Jesus tells us, love them, because that's what he did. And that's crazy. And it's impossible. But with God, nothing's impossible. Amen? And so what we're going to see this morning is Jesus starting to give us some helps so we can discover that vision of loving everybody like Jesus loves everybody, that is a possibility for us, that we are able to do it. So I invite you to stand right now. We're going to pick up in verse 37 of Luke chapter 6, and we're going to discover three practical helps to love like Jesus. Luke 6, verse 37. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with a measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A disciple is above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. Lord Jesus, thank you for this word. And now, Lord, as we open it up, I pray that you would be opening up our lives, that you would be splitting open the husk that might be on a hardened heart, that you might be setting aside the things that confuse and distract, that this word might come into our hearts and lives and make a profound move in us towards you. We want to be more like you, Jesus. And we ask you to do that in us and in our hearts and in our lives in every way in these minutes ahead. Have your way with us now by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so have a seat if you would, please. So we're going to see some helps here. And the first of these is this this idea of judgment. See, Jesus says, judge not. He says, condemn not. And he says, instead, forgive. And basically what he's getting down to is the idea, just as you think about it. If he says, love your enemies are probably like messed up, right? And when you encounter people that are like after you, that are have anger, that have hatred towards you, I mean, Jesus said, the world will hate you because it first hated me. So somebody that is treating you in that kind of an enemy kind of way is clearly not right with the Lord, and they probably have all kinds of like nasty stuff to their account, right? And so they're messed up. And so when you encounter people that are messed up, isn't it like kind of native and natural for us to say, you're messed up, and then to judge them, to put them in the, you know, when I was a teenager and like going through like the whole middle school, high school experience, you know, I'm not a real big guy, and so I did bump into a couple of bullies. And one of the ways I coped with that emotionally is I basically, like, you know, in my mind, I like kind of painted like a scarlet J on their forehead. That means jerk. And then I would put them into the jerk box in my life, right? So it's kind of like the penalty box in hockey, right? Okay, so they're like in the jerk box. And what that did is it isolated me. So when they were like, you know, being mean to me and stuff, like, oh, you're just a jerk. And I wouldn't pay them any measure. That's what it's natural for us to do, right, with people that are distasteful. But Jesus just said, love jerks. He said, love your enemies. And what he's clarifying for us right here is something really important. See, because what we need to know about God, right, I mean, the whole theme here, right, is to love like Jesus. And I just pray that we would be like Jesus. And what you need to know about Jesus is righteous. Jesus is all about justice. Jesus will one day be the judge that we all stand before, but Jesus also loves and is all about mercy and forgiveness. So you think about a God, James 4:12 says it this way, there is only one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and to destroy. So our God can destroy evil with judgment and condemnation, and our God can save evildoers because he loves them. So see, it's like an Oreo sandwich, right? Justice, salvation, what's in the middle is love. What Jesus is saying here is, I just told you to love your enemies. I'm going to give you like a huge simplifying instruction. This is very helpful to us. He says, I'll do the judging, I'll do the saving, all you have to do is the loving. It's like hugely simplifying, right? And that's like really easy to say, but is that easy to do? No, it's so much easier to take somebody that is a knucklehead and put them in the jerk box. Isn't that easier? Of course it is. And in our flesh, that's what we want to do. So if you don't like somebody, basically, I know, I'll like avoid them. Okay? You know, and if they like punch you in the face, remember Jesus said, right, if they punch you in the face, offer the other cheek. What he's basically saying is what your flesh wants to do if they punch you in the face is to either separate yourself from them so you don't get punched again. You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. So you put distance between yourself and the jerk, or you want to mete out some justice. So, boom, I know, boom, come right back, right? I mean, that's what our flesh does. And Jesus said, no, judgment, That's mine. Yours is love. There's only one lawgiver and judge, he who is able to save and to destroy, but who are you to judge your neighbor? And so he begins here, judge not, you'll not be judged. Condemn not, you'll not be condemned. But by the way, I think an important thing for me to just say right now, for a different sermon on a different day, is that this is speaking in the context specifically about people who are outside the family of God, who are far away from God. If you take that judge not lest you be judged and generalize that in your life, you're going to miss something really important about life with yourself and life with other Christians. Okay, this judge not thing has to do with people that are outside the family of God. And so he says, don't judge them, don't condemn them, forgive them, and you will be forgiven. Now, one thing he's doing here that's like really interesting is if you were with us last week, we didn't dwell on it, but in the earlier part of this sermon, Jesus, he dishes the golden rule. It's in verse 31. If you want to look up there, you'll see it. Jesus says, as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. The golden rule, right? Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Jesus actually says it the other way around, which is as you would have them do to you, like do to them. And it's pretty simple. He says, like, you got a choice in how you treat other people. And the measure of that is like, what would you want? And so just imagine you're standing before Jesus on that great and final day. You read about it in Matthew 25. He's going to put the sheep at his right hand and the goats on his left, right? And he brings all these people and he basically looks at you and me and he says, okay, anybody here who's messed up, okay, like raise your hand. And if I say that, anybody in there, right, you're leading the way today, brother. Right, rise, there it goes, okay. So here, like this can be difficult news for some, but guess what, all you all are messed up, okay? Every single one of us has done something or a whole lot of things or something in between something and a whole lot of things to offend God and to set yourself as an enemy of God. That's what we've all done. And so it's like Jesus is saying, okay, look, you know, what's before you right now is God is holy, he's righteous, he's pure, he's just, and he will judge and condemn evil and evildoers. You're an evildoer. So I offer to you justice and condemnation. However, I love you so much that I will do whatever it takes for you not to receive that judgment. And so I poured it out on my son on the cross. And so I offer you as a free gift, motivated by my love for you, mercy and forgiveness. Which would you like? You go, oh, just let me think. Justice is good. Yeah, I'm all about justice. I'm down with that. Well, but wait a minute. If I'm guilty, justice is going to be, shall we say, unpleasant? Like death, hellfire. This is when we cue the aroma machine and fill the place with sulfur smells, right? That's going to be bad. But if I choose mercy, forgiveness, I'm going to find myself, we just sang it, I'm a child of God. I'm going to find myself adopted as his son or as his daughter. I'm going to find myself seated at the banquet table. I'm going to find myself in a place of love and acceptance and fulfillment and forever, ever, ever celebration and joy and beauty. So let me think about this. Which one do I want? Duh. I'll take the mercy and the forgiveness. And so what Jesus is saying, okay, if that's what you want, I just told you, do to other people what you'd want. And so the knuckleheads that come into our lives, give them the mercy, give them the forgiveness. Leave the judging to the Lord and leave the saving to the Lord. This is like a huge help when you think about dealing with people that you've put in the jerk box. Give them mercy, give them forgiveness, give them love. And Jesus lays it out. Judge not, you'll not be judged. Condemn not, you'll not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. It is like so easy to say, but it's so hard to do. Because isn't it natural for us to, I mean, sometimes we're going to be private about it, you know? It's like, you know, we're going to vote on what we think of you by secret ballot. Or we're more open about it, right? But it's so easy to judge people, and it's hard to love them. And Jesus says, love them. Now last week, we talked about how it can be really hard. Because remember the instructions that he gave. By the way, I'm moving on. The first help here is that God judges them. We're to love them. So just focus on the love. That makes us easier to grasp, like loving other people. Just focus on the love. Let the judgment issue take it off the table. The second help has to do with the fact that it's going to be hard to do that. Or actually, it's going to be hard when you get into loving them, because when you love people that are like nasty, when you love people that are your enemies, these are people that are actually in the category where they are seeking your pain, your punishment, and your destruction. And so when you get close to people like that, you may get smacked in the chops. And we looked at that last week. Remember what Jesus said was, you know, don't do that, because what I want you to do is I want you to do good things for them. I want you to say good things to them and about them. I want you to ask the Lord to bring good things to them. I want you to, if they like take a smack at you, to persist in doing these good things and saying good things and praying good things. And I want you to give them good things. Remember, those are the five things that define this crazy love. And that idea of persistence, that's hard. And what it means is like stepping into a place where there's like risk because God is pushing back. Now listen to what, or because the bad guys push it back. Look at verse 38. Here's what he says. He says, give and it will be given to you. So when it comes to loving others, especially the tough ones, he says, give and be generous about that. That's in the earlier text. He says, give, it'll be given back to you. Who's going to give back to you? Jerk face? No. It's the Lord that does that. And then he goes on to say, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with a measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And somebody mentioned this morning that they went over to Buck's the other day looking forward to some ice cream. And Buck's closes for the fair because Judy and Emily are like cattle superintendents at the fair and have been for a long time. When we went to the fair on Friday, we parked at South Woodstock Baptist, and they've been doing some mission work in Guatemala. And so the parking attendant said, "Hey, we're like selling some like baked goods to raise money for the thing, for the people in Guatemala. So if you have a minute, just go into the church, and you can buy like a home baked pie." So we went in, and it was early, and they had a few pies there, and so we picked out this beautiful apple like crumb cake, right, or pie, right, with a, like the, you know. What is that? Is that a Dutch apple pie, right? Okay, yeah, but we're talking like active ingredients are like butter, sugar, cinnamon, you know, poof, awesome. And so it was early in the day, and we didn't want to take it to the fair or put it in the hot car, so we had them put a sticky on it with our name on it, and we came back to collect it. My first thought was, you know what would be awesome? Would be to basically just like cut this baby in half, half for Lynn, half for me, go to Buck's and just have them loaded up with some nice, sweet, creamy vanilla soft serve. Anybody with me on that? Yeah, Buck's was closed. So I've been thinking about Category 5 hurricanes, and now I've been thinking about ice cream, and I've been waiting for the opportunity to weave ice cream into the sermon. Here it comes, okay? Here it comes, okay? Is Jesus says, with a measure you use, it will be measured back to you. And he's talking about this in the context of the risk and the sacrifices it takes to love people who hate you, to love people that have set themselves against God, to love people that are far away from God. And I'm pointing that way because that's what Jesus did on the cross, right? I mean, they nailed him to a cross. And what Jesus is saying is, if you got to take the ice cream out of your bowl and scoop it over to the other person's bowl, as you give to them, as you give to them of your kindness and of your wealth and of your time, you give to them. If you're giving it to them and they're not getting it, it is just like a loss. You know, it's like if you're an accountant, you know, you'd write bad debt. You just like write it off as a loss. And what Jesus is saying is, if you use a big scoop to love the other people, I'm going to be dishing up like your ice cream with like the God scoop. It's like huge. Now, maybe some of you aren't supposed to eat dairy or don't like ice cream. Because we're not talking about ice cream. See, we're talking about doing good deeds, saying good things, the time you spend on your knees praying for people that are broken and far away from God, putting up with their abuse and being generous with them in every way. And what Jesus is saying is, here's the deal. Here's why this is a help, is that the losses that you experience in your life by obeying my commandment to love will be replaced by your Father in heaven 30, 60, 100-fold. And so whatever risk you think you're going to take, take it. That's what Jesus did. You know, when we read in Philippians about Jesus' gift to us, it says that, you know, I mean, here, there he is. He's God. He's in heaven. That sounds like a good gig, right? You're God, you're in heaven, you're like in charge, you have all of the beauty and the privileges and the power and the authority of being God. He abandoned that. I'm paraphrasing Philippians 2, beginning in verse like 5. Where we're told to like think this way, in verse 5 of Philippians 2. And he abandoned that. He gave it up. He didn't hang on to it. And instead, he emptied himself. And then he left heaven, right? And he came and he took on the appearance of a human. He's born in a stinky stable. And then he steps into the role of bondservant and slave. And he becomes obedient to death, even death on a cross. That's what Jesus does. So he makes all this sacrifice, all this investment. He surrenders his very self for our best interest when we least deserve it. And you know what the Father does? If we just continue with that text, it says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Here's the principle at work. Is when you sacrifice for the sake of the lost, for the sake of the gospel, Jesus, God in heaven, lifts you up. He raises you up. And he scoops it out with a big scoop if you're dishing it out with a big scoop. That's what he does. If I were to just kind of take a hold of that and maybe look at it a little different way. That's not in my outline, so I'm not going to say it. But here's what is. Last week after our Category 5 love discussion, I had a conversation with somebody who was impacted by that and told me a story. And the story was that this person had been working to develop a relationship with an, how do you say that word? Honorary neighbor. A knucklehead, right? Had been working to build a relationship with that neighbor. And so was doing exactly what Jesus taught us last week, which is to do good things and to say good things and to pray and to work through that barrier of offense. Well, the barrier started to break down, but it started to break down for, it took like a left turn. It took like a, like actually kind of a, like kind of a demonically inspired kind of turn, which is that the person on the other side of the barrier was of the opposite sex and started to misinterpret the kindness and the kind words. And so the person that was doing that, when they picked up that vibe, you know, that it was, they thought like flirtation was going on. So no, that's not it. This is the love of Jesus. But they don't know Jesus. So they misidentified it. That person withdrew because of the risk. Not many weeks later, the news came through the neighborhood chatter world that person had died. And that believer was heartbroken over having abandoned the chase because of the risk issues. Now, like, here's the deal, right? I believe in a sovereign God. I believe that if, you know, we hear a prompting to go tell somebody about Jesus and blow it, that God's got, that what that actually tells me is I wasn't plan A, okay? He's got plan A. He'll get done what he needs to get done. But I think the message is so potent, right? Because I can tell you, as a pastor, I have had those experiences where I had a prompting like to go visit somebody who was sick or something like that, and I didn't do it, and then they passed. I've had that happen. It is heartbreaking. And what Jesus is saying here is, don't let your fear about the risks associated with dealing with difficult people ever dissuade you from loving them like Jesus loves them. Don't let it stop you. And the encouragement and the help here is that whatever those risk issues are, he's right there with his ice cream scoop ready to help you out. And so, you know, you may have to put your physical safety at risk. You may have to put your reputation at risk. You may have to surrender time or sleep or those things that are important to you for like getting your day job done or whatever it is. Put them at risk, because that's what Jesus did. He put everything at risk and he gave everything, and that's his calling on your life and mine. So there are three helps here. The first help is leave the judging to him. Just love him. The second help is, if loving costs, the Lord's going to take care of you. He'll cover the cost, whatever it is. The third is, We have to kind of bridge into it here because there's a lot of teaching in this, and the way I preach, I'm scared to like leave a verse untended. Okay, so I want to talk about a couple. But in verse 39, he says, he also told them a parable. And then what follows actually are a couple of, if you will, proverbial sayings. They're statements of truth. He says, can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? Okay, so remember the context here, right, is Jesus, I mean, he starts like talking about, you know, blessed are the poor because yours is the kingdom. He talks about the blessings of the kingdom. He talks about the woes of those who are not in the kingdom. He talks about the fact that you need to love the people that are haters of people of the kingdom, because the objective overall is to take people who are far away from God, and in your loving them and building a relationship with them, taking them by the hand, and then you got to start to walk with them towards Jesus and put Jesus' hand and their hand together. And then you can step back and remember, he judges, he saves, we love. Yeah, when you put their hand in his hand, he saves them. We don't. So that's our job, right? I mean, that's what the church is here for, to bridge that gap, right, between people that are far away from God and Jesus. And that's what we do. And so he's basically saying, can a blind man lead a blind man? Well, look, if they are blind because they don't know Jesus and you're blind, which way are you going to go when you take a hold of their hand? Well, I don't know. You're going to kind of wander around and it says fall into a pit. So here I'm blind. I don't know where I'm going. Do you know where we're going? Well, let's know where we're going together, right? So you start holding hands, you start walking, and you wander around, and the next thing you know, it says you're in a pit, in a ditch. You don't get where you're going to go. Your eyes have to be open to see where you're going to go. Jesus also makes it clear here that where you're going is to the likeness of your teacher. That's where verse 40 takes us. It says, a disciple's not above his teacher. So, like, if I'm a follower of Jesus, all sold out for him, I'm a disciple, he would be the teacher, right? So he's the teacher, I'm the disciple. A disciple's not above the teacher. Yeah, I'm not above Jesus. But everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher. So last week we talked about, like, in your love life, right? How's your love life? Are you a category one lover, like easy peasy love? Or are you loving people that you don't know or would be indifferent to, like a category two lover? Or you're a category three lover. You're actually working on loving people you don't care for. Category four, ones you really don't care for. Category five is loving the ones that hate you and are trying to destroy you. And that's what we talked about last week. That all of it has to do with going from whoever you are today to becoming more and more like Jesus. See, because if you're like Jesus, you'll love like Jesus. If you're like Jesus, you will love people in that same sacrificial way. It will be natural to who you are because you're like Jesus. And so then he says, like, are you doing that? Are you dealing with the obstacles? And then he begins the series of several parables. We're only going to look at the first today. He says, why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye but do not notice the log that's in your own eye? A few years ago, I came across, people make movies about the Gospel of Mark, Gospel of Matthew, Gospel of John, and so forth. And like the Campus Crusade, the Jesus movie, or the old one, Jesus of Nazareth. You remember the old Jesus of Nazareth one? I think Jesus was played by this British actor like Richard Chamberlain, right? And so I don't know if you remember, but he's got like the blue eyes. He's got this kind of like sandy blonde hair that looks like a Miss Clairol commercial, right? It's like, you know, okay? And he's got like these long, delicate fingers, you know. It's just the Jesus of, like, the... Okay? There was a movie not many years ago about the Gospel of Mark, and they cast this guy, this Italian-American guy, okay, gets cast as Jesus. And he's, like, the kind of guy... You know, if you're looking for a good place for breakfast, a good way to pick one is to drive around about 6:30 or 6:45 and look at where the work trucks are parked. Okay, and there's a place like that up in it's up in Oxford. Anybody been to Carl's Diner up in Oxford? I see some smiles. Okay, and you go into Carl's Diner, and the guys that are there, you know, they got like work boots on, and they got like paint all over their clothes and stuff, and they got like some guns on them, right? And they're like laughing and joking and like shoving each other around and talking about the Patriots or the Red Sox or something. Yeah, there we go. Okay. And they're like, you know, manly, like rough and tumble guys. Well, in this movie about Mark, that's how they cast Jesus. And I think that's the deal. See, because he was a carpenter, but he also has a sense of humor in this movie. And when he teaches this parable, it is like so compelling the way it was depicted in the movie. You know, like there's a fire going there. There's a crowd in the background, but he's talking to his disciples. That's who he's talking to here. And his disciples are kind of gathered around. And then Jesus starts talking about that. It's like, why don't you notice, why is it that I notice the speck that's in your eye? You know, he's pointing to one of the obscure apostles, you know, like Bartholomew or somebody. So why is it that I can see that, but I can't see the log that's in my eye? And he reaches down next to the pile of firewood, and he picks up this piece of timber about that big and about that big around, about that long, and lifts it up. Now, here's Jesus teaching, and he's like staggering around with this thing in his eye. And I was talking about, can the blind lead the blind? And how come I can see the speck in your eye? You know, I'm looking at you saying, you're messed up. You got something. You know what? I know exactly what you need to do. You know, you need to like quit the gambling, or you need to start paying attention to your wife, or you need to like get a job, or you need to get a haircut, or like whatever it is, right? Like, I can see what's messed up in you, but I can't see this. And then Jesus like says, but I'm going to get that out of your eye. And he staggers over to him, and the big log is there, and the log's swinging, and he's like dodging the log, and then they fall together on the ground in like a heap of laughter. It's because if you think about it, it's actually funny how Christians can behave. They can see what's wrong with somebody else when they got their own issues. I have issues. Would you say that with me? I have issues. I do. And what Jesus is saying is, if you're going to see clearly to take that speck, if you're going to see me clearly, if you're going to take the hand of a lost person and put it in the hand of Jesus, you better be holding tight to the hand of Jesus. Amen? And the way you do that is by dealing with your stuff. And in the big picture, what he's saying in this portion of the sermon is, look, I told you to love him. Don't be judging. I need to stop pointing at the cross. The dirt balls are over here. Said, don't be judging them, just love them. And if it hurts, I got your back. But there is someone you need to be judging. It's yourself. You got to deal with your stuff, because you know what it's like? It's like when you get on an airplane to go on a plane trip, and they do that little safety briefing. As a former aviator, that safety briefing always kind of cracks me up. You know, in the unlikely event of a water landing, and I'm thinking, why did they finish that? It's like, in the unlikely event of a water landing, in the even unlikelier event that you survive the impact, you know, we gave you a little, like, life vest. I feel so safe. But then they talk about, should there be a sudden loss of cabin pressure? Now, up at, like, 38,000 feet, there's, like, no air, okay? And so if the cabin pressure, like if something punches a hole in the aircraft, like somebody opens a window, maybe you've seen that depicted in movies, you know? It's like, you know, phew, there goes the drink cart, you know? There goes like my device and my earbuds, phew, a couple flight attendants, they go out the window, you know? But what's leaving, most importantly, is all the oxygen, right? And at 38,000 feet, you have really just a matter of seconds of useful consciousness, and everybody kind of slumps over and dies. Hopefully not the pilots, right? Although that's happened. Right? So they tell you, right, the oxygen masks are going to drop down. They have this emergency oxygen system, and those look like little yellow oxygen masks with a plastic bag, and they tell you how to put it over your head and stuff. But there's something they tell us that they tell you when you do that that's like so important. What they say is, if you're traveling with small children or anyone else that would need assistance for their mask, put yours on first. That's what Jesus is saying here. If you're going to be leading people who are sinners to the Lord, deal with your sin first, so you're breathing the pure, sweet oxygen of the holiness and the power and the purity of Jesus. And then help them put their oxygen mask on. So simple, right? It's so simple. But, you know, so often we make this rookie mistake and say, look, I was convicted by Pastor Mike's sermon last week. I'm not even a Category 1 lover. I'm like a indistinguishable little thunder shower lover, okay? And so Category 5 is so far away, but I'm just going to do that. Boom. Category 5 love. You know, so I picked a guy I hate, and now I'm over there like trying to do nice stuff for him. But in the meantime, I haven't dealt with my own issues. It doesn't work. Because the power to love like Jesus comes from being like Jesus. And how you get like Jesus is to let Jesus take out of you the junk that isn't about Jesus and replace it with him. Three powerful messages here about how we would be able to love like Jesus. The first is, keep it simple. Love them, don't judge them. The second is, take the risks to love people that are far away from God. Be willing to get your reputation or your face beat up. Do what it takes, because God's got your back, and He will replace any losses you have. I got to come back to ice cream. Big scoop of ice cream. And then finally, take care of your own business. And as Jesus says here, you hypocrite. By the way, the Greek word hypocrite, you know what it means? It means like play actor. You know, so you think of like what Sir Anthony Hopkins, right? Where he can play a role with some like old dignified guy or a military leader or something like that. And then he can play like a mass murderer and cannibal, right? That's, I don't know Anthony Hopkins, but my guess is that's neither one of those are like him, right? Okay, so if you're in this, if you think like, look, I know Jesus, I'm gonna lead you to Jesus, and that's not really who you are. Jesus said, take the mask off. Take the log out of your own eye. Then you'll be able to see clearly. So you can see clearly by doing business first, taking care of business. And I'm going to just close with two songs that popped into my head. One of them was Bachman-Turner Overdrive, right? Taking care of business. And we're going to sing that before communion. No, we're not. But the other one was, when you do take care of business, you can see clearly. So I can see clearly now, right? What's the vintage of those songs? Is that 80s? 70s? I apologize to all you young people. I want to leave you with this, okay? You got issues. Maybe you don't know what they are. You might want to write this reference down. It's a great prayer. It's at the end of a psalm. It's a psalm where David lays out the incredible truth of how intimately God knows us. Psalm 139. Last two verses, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. He knows what you need. If there's some brokenness in your life, you may not even know what it is. He does. You can pray and ask. You know who else you can ask? Discerning brothers and sisters in Christ. And you say, I don't feel like I have any issues today. I have some issues. Say, oh yeah, you have some issues. Like what? Like you talk too much and don't listen very well. So that's still going on? I'm being honest here, right? Okay. And you could ask somebody. But to get rid of the issues, it's like so easy, right? You say, I don't want that anymore. You confess it, and because our issues, it's sin, right? When we confess them, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And when He does, we go from like, you know, tropical storm force wind capacity to category 1, 2, 3, 4, and we finally get to the likeness of Jesus, where we can step into this incredible reality He has for us, which is to love a lost and dying world around us with an unstoppable force that blows harder than any hurricane, that is more destructive when it comes to setting aside evil and pain and addictions and anger and injustice and unrighteousness. It's more powerful than like any kind of 30-foot storm surge sweeping buildings off their foundations. It's the love of Jesus working in us. And He invites us into that. And today we saw some helps for how to do it. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray that You would press this truth in our hearts and lives, that every day, each and every one of us, by Your word, by Your spirit, by Your love, by our interactions with our brothers and sisters in Christ, by our pains and our sorrows, by our celebrations and rejoicings, that every day, Lord, You'd make us more like Jesus. We want to be like Him. And we thank You for Your word moving us in that direction this morning. Break the cycle of judgment when we deal with people that are in sin, doing bad stuff. Replace it with love. Set us free from the shackles of fear that cause us to avoid difficult circumstances and difficult people. Help us to be reminded that You've got us covered. And Lord, help us to deal with our own stuff, that we might be transformed into the image of Jesus by Your power and Your work. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.